All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from Queens, the borough of Queens in New York City. It is the seventh day of December 2021. And I do want to remind you that I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. Or you can call our office here in New York at 718-457-1426. Chen Lin's letter, which we like to tout as well. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? ChenPicks.com is the place to go to sign up for Chen's excellent work. And then Michael Oliver's Momentum and Structural Analysis. You need to go to OliverMSA.com. And Michael will be with us in just a couple of minutes from now. I do want to thank all of you for making this show one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, encourage you to send along your questions, comments, whatever you might have to say about our show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number four, taylor@gmail.com. Sponsors for today's show, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show, How Long Until Inflation Breaks Germany and the World? John Rubino, Michael Oliver, Patrick Highsmith are guests today. Almost alone among the world's serious nations, Germany has citizens who remember the 1923 Weimar Republic hyperinflation, or at least they have that in their mindset. Their parents remembered it. That was a time when newly destitute Germans burned their life savings to keep warm or carted wheelbarrows of cash to stores to buy bread and milk. This wipeout of an entire generation's wealth led directly to Hitler and World War II, arguably the two dumbest mistakes made by any country ever. It's important to note that in the recent past, before Deutsche Bundesbank was replaced by the European Central Bank, short-term German interest rates were always set above the inflation rate in order to keep prices under control. Those days are over now. Since the Great Recession, German interest rates have been consistently below the rate of inflation, apparently to encourage even faster price increases. So the question becomes, how much more of this can Germany take before it breaks from the European Union in an effort to save itself? Or will it simply go along with the Davos crowd towards implementation of a one-world government and a single global currency in which the German people have no control over? Meantime, as Daniel DiMartino Booth recently opined in an interview with Adam Taggart, it is 100% certain that the Fed will commit a policy error. The only question is whether it will trigger a massive deflation of the financial markets as it tries to get inflation under control and save the currency, or will it allow inflation to run hot and then out of control to save the stock market? Or might we get a deflationary scare that is followed by a currency regime ending hyperinflation that results in a total loss of confidence in fiat money and the thieves in government and central banks are run out of town? Well, those and other topics are the ones we want to explore with John Rubino in the second half of today's show. Patrick Highsmith of Firefox Gold will join me right after the first commercial break to talk about the excellent progress that that company is making in Finland. But right now, I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again to share his views on these crazy, crazy markets. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's always good to have you back. But there's one thing I have to ask you. Normally, you're very certain. You seem to be very, very confident in your models. It seems that a little bit uncharacteristic of you, though, when you tell me that you're not quite sure which way gold is going in the short term. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, back prior to the November rally, as we were coming up out of the repeated sell-offs in gold based on assumptions about tapering and so forth, redundant sell-offs, meaning you get a sell-off, it would rally back up and erase the sell-off, then you get another sell-off, the same dimension, same price zone, and you did it like three or four times. We thought when you closed a week out during this quarter at 1825 or higher, we had a breakout level on quarterly momentum for gold. It achieved that in mid to late November, and you know, shot all the way up to 1879. But at the same time we issued that report, we also said we want to see consensus and agreement from silver. Mm-hmm. And we've specified a number on quarterly momentum for silver, which would shift that metric back into positive gear after, you know, being in the muddle for the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And silver's peak weekly close during that November rally was less than 2 cents below our breakout number. I mean, that's how it got above it intra-week, and it came back close the week like less than 2 cents below our specified trigger number, and it was not some rounded off 10-cent number. It was a 25.36 was the number. Okay, the high weekly close was 25.34.4, and then it dove. Okay, so silver didn't agree, nor did GDX, the gold miner ETF. It stopped short. We had a number in the upper 35s. It stopped in the low 35s, $35 area, and dropped back. So we didn't have confirmation of the gold signal. So, you know, yes, we got a breakout in gold, but it wasn't agreed with by its sister metal and the miners. And then we dropped back down. In the drop we had a week or so ago in gold, we hit some numbers that caused us to have some doubt about whether that drop would stop. It might continue and produce a rapid flush out. And our number was down to 1640 if it broke, it broke certain levels. Well, it nipped these levels and then popped back above them, but we're not getting the same action out of silver in the miners. In other words, so gold's thrashing around here and creating, in our assessment, some doubt, near-term doubt. Mm-hmm. But our opinion is this. The weakness that we've seen in gold since that false breakout has started to gel. If it doesn't come undone and start down again rapidly, like in the next week or two, it probably isn't. In other words, our caution was unjustified. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another thing that's going to happen. The new quarter's coming up. So when we measure things by a three-quarter average, that's a point of adjustment because the number's going to change. We get into January, it's like 12 trading days away. Suddenly there's a new number facing silver and the gold miners. And that number is dropping, meaning that the breakout level we had for this quarter is going to drop. It drops about a dollar for silver down the 24.40 level, weekly close. So you know, instead of 25-something, it's 24-something. And for GDX, it's in the 34s. We're trading in the 31s right now. So in other words, the upside breakout levels that they did not achieve in that November rally when gold broke out, they can achieve much easier once we get into the new quarter, again, you know, dozen trading days away. So we're watchful. I suspect, and I'm almost counting the clock here, if the bears don't knock gold down significantly in the next week or so, I don't think they're going to. I think they've had just yet another one of these repeated overlapping sell-offs based on, in this case, it started down when they announced that Powell was renominated.
Yeah.
Monday, 2 weeks ago. So they dumped on gold. I'm tired of the taper talk. And I think in order to resolve that, you got to watch the stock market. We've got some key numbers on the S&P and the NASDAQ 100 that have been danced above, and we adjust them up each week or monthly, depending on the metric. And the markets keep dancing just above the numbers, and the numbers rise each week or each month, such that, for example, the S&P is now in this sharp rally we just had. It's actually a thrashing up-down situation. It's about 4% above some death numbers. And it's our view that if you ever break that stock market, and even just get it into a doubtful situation, where people say, was that a top? You know, create some concern. Somehow the central bank is going to have to reorganize its thought process and come up with some excuse as to why they're not going to raise rates or why their tapering is going to be less than they expected, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So watch the stock market. It's very important for gold, because if it mm-hmm. begins to fail, the central bank will have to go into panic mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost predictable, it seems. That's what they've been doing year after year. And if the equity market starts to tank, but then you also have problems with the bond market and interest rates rising too. Michael, as you pointed out, I think a couple of times when you were on with us recently, you saw the junk bond markets, the corporate debt running into trouble. And, you know, what happens when
– yeah, and you have – like the long-term government bonds. Yes, uh-huh, that's quite right.
Yeah. So you have all this pension fund money in these instruments, and they start going south, and you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and the central bank knows that. I mean, they know that they're sitting on top of the biggest bubble in the history they've ever made. And if you go back and examine all these boom-bust cycles we've had, they're almost always – you can look at the Fed funds rate chart and see them coming. You know, they lower rates real low, and the market takes off and relative to the prior lows, okay? And then the market gets too toppy, it starts down, and, you know, they raise rates a little bit as the market is strong because the economy's better, okay? And all of a sudden the market tops. So mm-hmm. it's another bust, okay? And then when that bust comes, what do they have to do? They have to come in and rescue the new bust to create a new bubble.
Right.
This is the biggest one they've ever made. It's 12 yeah. plus years old, and it's off the page.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting, yeah. but they don't have much maneuver room.
No, they don't. No matter what they do, as Daniel DeMartino Booth said, they're going to have a failure. They've boxed themselves into a corner. There's really no way out of this thing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then I guess the best thing we can do is try to keep liquid, own some gold, physical gold in our hands, and I don't know. Have good neighbors, I guess. That's another,
yep,
another thing.
That's right. Have good neighbors.
Have good neighbors. Michael, thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights with us once again. It's always appreciated.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, we're going to go to break now, but don't go away because Patrick Highsmith is going to be with me. He's the chairman of Firefox Gold. And, you know, they're doing really well in their early exploration efforts in Finland. It's a penny stock that I own enthusiastically and look forward to making a lot of money in it. I'm hopeful. So I'm looking forward to what Patrick has to say when we come back from the break. So don't go away. Be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.